the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
A very warm welcome to our worship this morning as we continue our journey through Lent here in church. Good to see you all here, or whether you're joining us online. Just a couple of notices. One is to say it's messy church this afternoon from 4 o'clock. Then on Friday, it's thank God it's Friday in the centre if you want to gather there from 6:30 for some social time. On Thursday before that, the night before, our Lent course continues, the third of those, looking at C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters. You're welcome, of course, to any of those. Then lastly, I've published The Bands of Marriage between Scott Andrew Pearson and Alice Jane Mottram, both of the parish of Pudsey, and between Andrew Scott Bingham and Natasha Elizabeth Martine Wensley, both of this parish. These are for the third time of asking, if any of you know a reason in law why these persons may not marry each other, you are to declare it now.
Compassion and forgiveness belong to the Lord our God, though we have rebelled against him. Let us then renounce our willfulness and ask his mercy by confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Lord, we have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. Lord, have mercy. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves, or seen you and served you in the least of your children. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
We have not sought to have the mind of Christ, and we have grieved your Holy Spirit. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by his Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you show to those who are in error the light of your truth, that they may return to the way of righteousness. Grant to all those who are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's religion that they may reject those things that are contrary to their profession, and follow all such things as are agreeable to the same. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, join me in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I've often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. The Lord is a great God. O that today you would listen to his voice. Harden not your hearts. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed away from Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you.
May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often have I desired to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. In these words, Jesus recognizes Jerusalem as the central place for the Jewish faith. Central because the temple was there, the temple that symbolized that special relationship between the Jewish people and with God. He recognizes too what it has become, how far the people within it have strayed from God's intention for them. It was hardly Jerusalem the golden. Then he anticipates what is to come, the growing realization in him of how his mission will be fulfilled and that Jerusalem will be where his story ends. It doesn't take much imagination to sense the feelings of sadness and lament in his words, the sense that what had been dreamed of by God, a holy place to gather God's people together, had become something else. A place that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. I begin there because we all carry a sense of sadness and lament at the moment. For Jerusalem, read Odessa or Mariupol or Kiev. Places in which people just a few weeks ago were going about their business, taking children to school, going to work, enjoying a meal out with family and friends. Now buildings and bodies have been seen on the streets. The innocent have been killed, lives turned upside down, as people just like you and me run for their lives. When the invasion began, I was on holiday decorating a bedroom. It seemed surreal to be undertaking an act that was so normal that I could imagine someone in Kiev doing just a few days before it all started, and then for everything to change. There are no words, really, to describe it, just sadness and lament. As we all ask, how could it come to this? And we feel pretty powerless to do anything. We hope for peace, but hope seems hard to come by. We pray, We send donations and offer what we can, but it seems so small when faced with such a tragedy. There are no answers, but to remember perhaps that our faith is one in which the small things matter. And here I turn to St. Paul in that letter to the Philippians we heard a little bit of this morning. Paul and his companions were in prison, a place too, perhaps, where hope is hard to come by. He writes of how Jesus will transform their humiliation so that they might be conformed to the body of his glory. Yet Paul knew, sat in prison, that things looked grim. So he writes too, not knowing what will happen next, of how their citizenship is in heaven. These are words of hope that look to the future, but what of the present? Well, Paul says, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. That imitating and following in the way of the followers of Jesus is what we still try and do, of course, and is often expressed in small ways. A tin of soup or beans for the food bank, for example. And though it might not look like much, it does make a difference. As I've thought about this theme, I've thought of how Jesus often used examples of small things like pearls or mustard seeds to help people understand what faith in him looked like. Of course, there were those moments of vision too when he spoke of the kingdom and invited people to imagine what might be, but so often his teaching was rooted in the specific and the particular, rooted in those small acts of kindness and love which people could understand. And it's often small stories or pictures that help us understand something much bigger, more fully. For example, at the beginning of the pandemic, few of us really appreciated what was about to happen to us. We got used to tuning into the news from 10 Downing Street, yes. We got used to hearing hundreds of deaths daily, tragically. But in a sense, those headlines meant everything and yet nothing. It was only when the story was brought down to our level that our minds could comprehend that it began to make sense. Here in Leeds, I don't know if you remember, but we seemed unaffected for a time at the beginning. So I remember hearing from my sister-in-law, a night sister in Lancaster Hospital, she was utterly bewildered and exhausted by what was happening, by her inability to treat people. It was at that moment, through her story, that COVID-19 began to mean something to me. And so it is with the unfolding tragedy in Ukraine. It is only when a story captures our hearts, one story amongst so many, that the tragedy of the situation takes root in us. Like the story of the child, like those in Tot's Corner, being told they can only take one toy for their journey. Or of the called up reservist getting married at the front line, or of the little girl singing Let It Go from the movie Frozen. And even these stories, told in the most tragic of circumstances, can sometimes give us hope. For example, there was one small story of a Russian soldier being captured by Ukrainians. It shows him being fed by them and then able to call his mother on the telephone. How easy would it have been to seek revenge on their attacker? But they showed him kindness and compassion. In the midst of everything else, this may not make much difference. It may not change the heart of Vladimir Putin, but it may well have changed the heart of that Russian soldier who had likely been told that all Ukrainians were evil and in need of protection and liberation. Jesus lamented what Jerusalem had become. And we lament for our sisters and brothers in Ukraine. But we remember too this morning that each one of us, in our small way, can make a difference. Whether it is a donation, lobbying our politicians, finding a way to get supplies there, whether it is in and through our prayers, which we offer daily. These small acts of defiance speak of the kingdom we pray for. They matter. They are small signs of hope. and hope is what we need. Something picked up by the poet laureate Simon Armitage in his words of poetry published yesterday, trying to capture something of what we all feel at the moment. He writes, "An air raid siren can't fully mute the cathedral bells. Let's call that hope." So may the tears we shed over the cities of Ukraine lead us one day, we don't know when, from the desert of loss, to which there seems no end at this time, to new life with the Jesus who feels our pain, knows our need, and heals our wounds. Amen.
Let us affirm our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Though he was divine, he did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing. Taking the form of a slave, he was born in human likeness. He humbled himself and was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has raised him on high and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every voice proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
As children of our Heavenly Father, who knows us so well and loves us completely, let us sit or kneel before him to pray. As we journey through Lent, may we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, that we may never forget the ultimate sacrifice made for us. Lord, give us the strength and resolve to turn away from temptation to do what we know to be wrong. Give us the courage to speak out for what is right and just. Give us the selfless compassion to put others before ourselves. Give us the obedience to do your will without question or hesitation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for your church throughout the world, remembering especially the Anglican Church of Melanesia, their primate, Archbishop Leonard Dawia, and all who worship you there. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In our local community, we pray and give thanks for our Church of St. Mary, for Matthew, Lynn, and Rosemary, and for all who serve you here. We give thanks for St. Mary's Community Centre and pray especially today for the bar management team and all the volunteer bar staff. We give thanks that we have the beautiful open parkland of Temple Newsham nearby, and our prayers are asked for the gardeners who who work there as they begin their busy spring season. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, our minds are filled this morning with the terrible events in Ukraine. And we pray for all those caught up in this tragedy through no fault of their own. For the women and children who have had to leave. For the men who have had to remain. For the elderly whose health does not permit them to travel and who have to take shelter in cellars and metro stations. O Lord, we pray for them all, and as you enfold them in your love, may we also find ways to open our arms to them and help in whatever way we can. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those who hold positions of power in this world. May they use that power for the common good with humility, compassion, and integrity, and not to overpower and dominate. We pray for Russia, Lord, and its people, that they may be made aware of the tragedy that is unfolding on their borders. We pray that you will enter the hearts of those who are misguided and instill a desire for peace and restoration in all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we bring to you our loved ones with their hopes, joys, and disappointments, their struggles and their successes. May they be guided and nurtured by your love. And in our own parish, we pray this morning for those who live in Hollyshaw Walk, their families and friends. May they know your love in their lives and in their homes. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into the gentleness of your healing love, we bring all who are ill, all who are in pain, all those in hospital, those facing or recovering from surgery, those who are afraid, those who are confused. And our prayers have been asked especially this morning for Pat Hyde, Ginny Camponi, Tom Heafy, Alan Cross, Christine Oates, Jeff Blowers, Beryl Laverick, Sharon Clark, Shane Simpson, and Mona Illingworth. And for those in long-term care, Mary Metcalf, Doreen Hoare, Margaret Burton, George Brown, Jennifer Mode, and Mavis Cross. Grant them, Lord, peace of mind and spirit, and a sure knowledge that you are by their side. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. into your light and peace, we commend those who have recently died, remembering especially Kath Sinclair and Dorothy Weir. And on the anniversary of their death, Harold Thompson, Mary Macy, Joseph Taylor, Doris Hunter, and Howard Sandham. May they rest forever in your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God our Father, in your love and goodness, you have taught us to overcome our sins with prayer, fasting, and generosity. Accept our Lenten disciplines, and when we fail by our weakness, raise us up by your unfailing mercy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us access to his grace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. God of wisdom, may the light of your eternal word, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, lead us in holiness and guide us to glory. We ask this in his name. Amen. Amen. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and good to give you thanks and praise, Almighty God and everlasting Father, through Jesus Christ your Son. For in these 40 days you lead us into the desert of repentance, that through a pilgrimage of prayer and discipline we may grow in grace and learn to be your people once again. Through fasting, prayer, and acts of service, you bring us back to your generous heart. Through study of your holy word, you open our eyes to your presence in the world and free our hands to welcome others into the radiant splendor of your love. As we prepare to celebrate the Easter feast, with joyful hearts and minds, we bless you for your mercy and join with saints and angels forever praising you and singing. And bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again he praised you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory.
Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes, and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favour on your people, gather us in your loving arms, and bring us with Blessed Mary and all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever. Lord Jesus, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Almighty God, you see that we have no power of ourselves to help ourselves. Keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise, that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Christ, give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in the peace of Christ.
Thanks be to God.